I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What is it? What do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? And this is a tough question, especially if you attend church, because like last week, we talked about how, you know, struggle builds strength. Right? So it feels like we have to say, I'm so spiritually mature that I do actually desire earthly difficulties because I know that they're making me eternally better, blah, blah, blah. Right? You gotta say it. You don't wanna say it, but you know, because for, as scripture promises us, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We gotta believe that, but here's the problem. The problem is while we're down here, it's hard to want what we can't see, but it's easy to see what we shouldn't want. And because God knows it, this scripture actually goes on right here, goes on to tell us how to change our desire. And it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And again, okay, wonderful, that sounds great, but that change, looking up there instead of down here, is a whole lot easier said than done. I mean, come on, their eyes, guys, their eyes, they kind of prefer visible things, right? Like we just like to look at things we can see. How crazy is that? So how do we take them off all of the incredibly attractive, easy to see things that the earth offers and turn them towards something better but invisible? It's a tough one. And well, we got two tactics that can shift our focus from the damaging desires down here to more productive pursuits. Number one, we can glorify our goals, right? Really focus on that. We did that last week by emphasizing that hard to see appeal that's hidden, you know, those blessings that are hidden in our earthly struggles. We really focus on that, right? We can do that, and that helps us keep our eyes on the prize a little bit. Or number two, we can also shift our focus when we vilify our vices, all right? Make them look not so good. So today, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to vilify those vices by minimizing that easy-to-see appeal that is flaunted by earthly success down here. Because, listen, you're at church. We know what we want to want, but it's hard to look past all this earthly stuff that we wish we didn't want. So it's a very good thing that Paul offers us some encouraging advice and explanation. He says, walk by the Spirit. Just walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There you go. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want to do. So, okay, I get it. So what do we do, though? What do we do with all of those unwanted earthly desires? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Okay, so there you go. There it is, right there. We gotta kill the appeal of earthly desire by erasing any opportunity for envy. Good luck with that. Here's what that means. That means our worldly success down here shouldn't ever be bragged about or wished for. It should be downplayed until the desire for it is dead. Because here's the secret, we can take the teeth right out of temptation when we stop romanticizing what the world offers and start recognizing its inadequacy. That's all we gotta do. So we're gonna do it this morning. Let's crucify some earthly desires by erasing some envy, because it's really not that hard. It's actually surprisingly easy. All you gotta do, just take a closer look at any person with the worldly success that you think you want. And here's what you're going to find. Maybe you want to win the lottery. Well, did you know that lottery winners have a greater chance of going bankrupt in the next 3 to 5 years than you do? What? I thought all your dreams are supposed to come true. No, better chance of going bankrupt. Two, famous musicians are 2 to 7 times more likely to commit suicide than the average. And number three, professional athletes are 75% more likely to suffer a mental health crisis than you are right now. And that's extra crazy because athletes start more mentally stable than the average, but they just keep growing more unstable the more they become elite, the more success they have. It gets worse. So, moral of the story, however you slice it, the bottom line is this: Easy Street ain't all it's cracked up to be. Stop wishing for it. So we should feel pity, not envy, for all those poor saps who've had the misfortune of achieving all their earthly dreams. Poor guys. Oh, that's rough. You're rich. Boo-hoo. It's bad news. We got to pity them, like these poor kids who are about to play in the Super Bowl today, only to find out it's not going to be enough. I'm in this tone, this entire sermon, this is where it's going to go. I'm up here. And if you still don't believe, back down here, all right. And if you still don't believe me, I want you to just listen to the desperation in this 27-year-old's voice as he talks about this. Listen.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I think, God, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it. I'm 27. And what else is there for me?
What's the answer?
I wish I knew.
Anything that really scares you, anything that intimidates you?
The end of my playing career. Big time. Because I'm always trying to figure out ways to have a day that's filled with things I like to do. And when I'm playing football during those 7 months out of the year, it's easy to get up and come in here and you're focused. You know, you've got a goal. You've got something you're trying to accomplish. And when that's done, you don't have 8,000 people screaming your name. I mean, what's it going to be? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot about astronauts who go to the moon and come back and they're so depressed because there's nothing they can do in their life that ever can fulfill them the way that it does.
Oh, heartbreaking. Oh my goodness. And you know what is crazy? This is true. I read it because that was a 60 Minutes interview. And he received like hundreds of Bibles in the mail. They were like, Tom, we got it. We got what you're looking for. This is what you want. Because we know it. But man, that desperation, you could just feel it. You could tell that he knew that he was hanging on to this. And he knew whether it's Super Bowl rings or a supermodel spouse or a supersized bank account, all materially measured achievements ultimately promise the same sad thing. They end, right? They all end. Because the truth of the matter is this: you can't buy happiness. You can only rent it for just a little while. And if that's your strategy, if you think that's what's going to do it, then you're going to find yourself stuck in a lifelong loop of trying to expand and extend your material value. Because whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. God, I love Ecclesiastes for this. This too is meaningless. Because Ecclesiastes loves to point out that it's all just chasing the wind down here, right? Everything under the sun. And if you want to see a very striking example of what it looks like when our earthly answers close in on their unavoidable end, I want you to check out how poor Tom Brady handled the final season of his career that he had been fearing would rob him of meaning since he was 27. This is the last year, right here. Get him, I heard that. Yeah. Okay, now obviously I'm going for dramatic effect. I put the cinematic evil music. He's not like a dark overlord or anything. But still, no matter what, he ain't happy. He is not happy. I never saw Russell Wilson ever do that, ever. I'm just saying, he is not a happy guy. And this whole sense, this idea, this frustration, this lashing out, you know, it's an unfortunate theme for many who experience great worldly success. Take Rainn Wilson, Dwight from The Office, right? He said, when I was in The Office, I spent several years really mostly unhappy because it wasn't enough. I was making hundreds of thousands, but I wanted millions. I was a TV star, but I wanted to be a movie star. It was never, ever enough. Or as Troy Aikman put it, Troy Aikman won his first Super Bowl, and he found himself up locked in his hotel room by himself while everyone else was out partying, because he says, here I was at the top of professional football, and I found myself thinking, now what? Okay, do you believe it yet? Do you believe it yet? Earthly goods aren't part of the good life. Because real life isn't about what we get in this world. It's about what we get out of this world. It's about learning what has real value. So watch out. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Because it can keep you grounded down here. But real life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. You can't take them with you. You know that. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, which is not down here, because his plan is to use this life's insufficiency to teach us to reach out for the satisfaction of real life up there. If you've been let down, good, good. It makes you want to go up there, because real life is perpetually vibrant and thriving and satisfying, while everything in this life down here always dulls and dies and never satisfies. And because of that, our material successes are by nature fleeting, right? They're on their way out all the time. And because of that, our lives are filled with new struggles again. Funny how that works. When we win a Super Bowl and ultimately feel the insufficiency of our success, we're forced to struggle with this new question. Why is this not enough? And voila, right there, we're right back to wrestling. You see how it works? I mean, if success means everything, and you get it, and I get it, and everything isn't enough, what do I do? Well, again, we got two options. Here's the first one. We can get mad at everything, okay? See how that works out for you. You can get mad at everything for letting you down. Or two, you can get a bigger everything that won't. And if we choose anger, our success is going to lead to oppressing, exploiting, and discouraging others, and we'll become some form of bully or tyrant or megalomaniac. And this right here, if you take this approach, this is where we get those athletes who shoot someone at a nightclub. Why? You got everything. Or we get those movie producers who assault women. And we get the Hitlers who try to take over the world. Okay? We don't want to be like them. Is that too bold of a statement? We don't want to be like Hitler. Are you with me? Okay? Yeah. Okay, all right? Bad. Hitler, bad. We're going good. We're going this direction, right? That's what happens when you get angry. They get to this point of power, and they have it all, and there's just, what do? You can get mad that it's not enough, and you keep going. So we're going to go ahead and rule out anger as a productive response, and that leaves us searching for a bigger everything to aim for. So where are we going to find that? Not down here, okay? Not down here. We already learned that. That approach just leads us to a new experience of the same mistake over and over again. If we're let down by wealth, well, don't think you're going to find it in power. If we're let down by power, don't think it's fame. And if we're let down by a Super Bowl victory, don't think it's women. I'm looking at you, David. Yeah. David, who won the Super Bowl, might as well have anyway, because we've been praising old Davey, little dinky Davey here. We've been praising David's strength that has come from his struggle, but it was his success that messed everything up. Remember, David beat Goliath in a battle way bigger than the Super Bowl when the whole nation was right there watching. And after that, he spent years succeeding at just everything that he did while the legend grew and he became king. So at a certain point here, he was pretty much the biggest deal ever. And yet, it was right then when he had his now what moment. And one evening, David got up from his king-size bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. I mean, he's got it all, right? On the roof of the palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Making sure you heard that part, David. But still, then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. David. Oh, what are you doing? David, you had everything that you could possibly imagine. How could this happen? Because it's not just me. The Lord wants to know, too. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to David about this. He says, "I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. So why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? Why?" Well, what have we learned? Why would David throw everything away when he had such incredible success? Why? It wasn't enough. That's it. It wasn't enough. And don't let God's question here that he asked here, don't let it mislead you. He knows exactly why we do evil in his eyes. That question right there is for our benefit. Because that question is what pushes us through God's brilliantly designed training circuit. Because you see, struggle builds strength, okay? Strength builds success. But then success builds struggle again. It's a cycle. You see, you know, the more money, more problems idea, right? And on it goes until hopefully at some point, it accomplishes its goal, and this is it. We give up on earthly answers, right? We just see that it's not working. We just quit, because when success falls short down here, right, the easy-to-see answers of this world start to actually lose their appeal. You're like, I had it. You know, I got a bunch of money. It didn't do it. That wasn't it. It's not stuff down here. And it starts to finally lose its appeal, and our eyes finally start to recognize that only an infinite and loving God could ever provide a big enough everything to satisfy all of our natural desires. What we want. We want stuff that's more than this place. And once we realize only God can offer everything that the earth can't, it becomes so much easier to see something else at the same time. We see the only thing that the earth can offer that God can't is sin. You don't want that. That doesn't take you anywhere. And all of a sudden, right there, it gets a whole lot easier to shift our focus from what we can see down here to what's unseen up there. That's what just happened to David. It's what happened to David. The way it took David's whole Bathsheba debacle for him to finally kill the desires of his flesh and look to the Lord again. And that's, he says, there's a whole psalm about where he, like, "I get it now, Lord." And he writes this, "Against you, Lord, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Oh, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. I get it now. I get it. This was all about you." And when our eyes have that moment and they start to wander upwards, we learn what the co-author of the Psalms here says. Well, whom have I in heaven but you? You know, if I'm looking, who do I have other than you? That's it. And earth has nothing I desire besides you. That's it. You're the only thing that can provide what I'm looking for. Because I want you to think about this right now. Be honest. This is honesty time. Deep down, every single person in this room has something that we think, if I just had that, I'd be a success. Okay, if I just had this one thing, if I just had that, I'd be a success. And whatever that is, you are full of it. You are. You are absolutely full of it. It's what's in your heart right now. And if that something is not God, then you're setting yourself up for that lifelong loop of disappointment. And you'll only ever find crisis and you'll never find comfort. However, okay, good news time. Here we go. However, if you finally have your fill of underwhelming material answers, like that finally happens, you put enough in there, and you go, they're not doing it. They keep letting me down. And then you shift your focus to a relationship with an overwhelming God. Something amazing happens. This miracle happens. It completely changes both experiences of struggle and success. Because I want you to just listen now to the satisfaction in this 24-year-old's voice as he talks about it. Check this out.
I think the media, for sure, there's, you know, questions brought up in terms of, like, you know, how do you do it? And for myself, it was, honestly, you want the truth? Because this is the truth. And I'm not going to just say, you know, like a worldly answer of, you know, I look in the mirror and I tell myself I'm good. It's none of that. It's man, like, this is who God has called me to be, and I've believed that from day one. I believe that Jesus Christ did come down and die for my sins and rose again, and he's living, you know, he's living and sitting beside God on the throne. And so I believe that. It's not just some story, fairy tale thing. It's real, and it allows me to, you know, stay level-headed and real with life, and I know what my purpose is.
Like, honestly, I think it's just a testament to God and where he's taken me in life. I've never been the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, or any of that. I feel like I've always sort of had to fight for what I get and work for what I get. But God's always given me an opportunity, whether that was in high school, college, and then obviously in the NFL. Getting drafted last, people, you know, overlook you and all that kind of stuff. And then all you need is an opportunity, and when watching, see what he does. You know, I put my faith and trust in him, and he's gotten me where I'm at, so... when I'm down 17 at half, honestly, I'm just like thinking, like, all right, God, you're taking me here, and win or lose, I'm going to glorify you, and that's my peace, that's the joy, that's the steadfastness, that's where I get it from, and that's the honest truth, so.
Okay. Okay. A small miracle happened. I hope you know how hard it is for me to root for a 49er. This is... This is one of the hardest decisions I've ever made in my life. This is so hard. But look, it's good. Even if he loses, you know he's going to give a great speech and glorify. So we can kind of root for him to lose, right? Like, that's still okay. I don't know. Don't try and trick God. I'm sorry about that. But he's all right with losing. He just said it himself. Okay. So, anyway, it's hard. It is hard because I'm just like, oh, those 49ers. But I'll tell you what, when I heard this kid, this 24-year-old, talk like that, when someone has the only game plan that guarantees a victory, you got to respect their game, right? That's just unbelievable. And his game plan was this: win or lose, glorify God. And does he, I mean, come on. Do you hear that? He's fine. He's fine. No matter what happens. It's such a good reminder. That's a game changer. Because chasing things down here, right, it keeps us in this painful cycle of struggle and success, right? We see how that works. That's just round and round it goes. But here's the trick. Here's that game plan. This is what happens. When you take that cycle and you aim it all at the Lord, it adds a brand new dimension up. It starts to go up, all right? And the very nature of your cycle of struggle and success changes because it turns into a spiral staircase, all right? It's a completely different beast now because each step no longer just spins you in circles over and over down here anymore. It actually takes you closer and closer to God. So what do you want out of this world? To get out of this world, okay? That's what we want. Life down here does not have what we want. We can slice it a million different ways, but it's true. But if we use all of this life's struggle, strength, and success to glorify God, guess what? We're out of here. That's how you make it out of here. Because without God, God, without God, Easy Street is in fact a dead end, right? It's just that same loop over and over again. But with God, it leads to the beginning of real life. And if this life is merely a means to an end, well, then God's got to be the goal. That's what's outside of this place. Therefore, let us throw off the insufficient earthly everything that hinders and the sin that only earth offers that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upward on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He walked the path. He's the one that showed us there was another direction up. So look, I can say this 1,000 different ways, but here's the simplest. This place ain't it. This place ain't it. And the more we realize what a letdown it is, the easier it becomes to shift our focus from all these false promises of material success to the proven promises of Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, this place is indeed a vicious cycle. But with Jesus, it's a stairway to heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray, guys. Let's pray. Father God, boy, we love you and we worship you for giving us everything that we'll ever need to find that true, real satisfaction. Holy Spirit, we ask for your help. We ask that you help us to stop romanticizing what this world offers and start glorifying you for the real life that you offer. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for personally walking the uneasy path of struggle and success while you were down here just to show us how it leads us back to you up there. And to that, I hope we can all say, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.